Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. This broadcast comes to you from Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team tonight consists of Kevin Boatwright, our cantor, Megan McCoy, our music director and organist, Ryan Devlin, our assisting minister, Mike Devlin, our lector, and Trini Crocker, our vocalist. We join now in confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. We keep silence for personal reflection and prayerful consideration. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your Spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace. Peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope. For hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn is Evangelical Lutheran Worship 441, O Happy Day When We Shall Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join now in Glory to God, found on page 139.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. All through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will do no good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Generation to another
before the mountain.
us back to the dust and say, turn back, O children of earth. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass. In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered. For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath. Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly and we are gone. Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in the gospel acclamation found on page 142. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. And the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. And in the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went reaping where you did not sow. I went and hid your talent, rather, in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not gather? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all who have more, for all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. I was reading a short article about our nationwide election that just occurred, and I came across an absolutely amazing statistic. The campaign in all of the many parts, from the least to the greatest, they spent a total of $14 billion running for the various offices in the land. And I say that to you because I want you to be prepared, because this lesson on the surface looks like it's all about the money. But it's not about the money. The church and we preachers have used the parable of the talents to talk about stewardship and wise management of material wealth, but this parable is about much more than that. This parable is about risk-taking. It is about taking the risk of life. It's about taking the risk of living to the fullest. So you see, the key line in the gospel is when the text says, "Enter the joy of your master." We have been given the good gifts, the abundance of God, which is the gift of grace. It is about the essence of living and loving and being alive in the kingdom of God, and it is about sharing those gifts with others. One of my favorite theologians, C.S. Lewis, in his little book, Surprised by Joy, wrote, "Joy bursts into our lives when we go about doing the good at hand and not trying to manipulate things and times to achieve joy." We live in a world that seems to be based on manipulation. We manipulate so many on just so many levels. We market everything from can openers to faith. We twist and turn truth as if it were simply a piece of wood on a lathe, making it fit into whatever pattern we want. A manipulated reality is not reality. It is a figment of our imaginations. A long time ago, I was a journalism student and majored in journalism, and I received that wonderful degree. And in the process, I was taught how to manipulate through the art of advertising. The art of advertising created a world that is not real. And in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is demanding reality, harsh reality, because Jesus wants each and every one of us to be responsible for living and living life to the fullest. In the midst of the created world of all of these images and ads and all of the rest and all of the different social media sites and Twitter and Facebook, we need to set those all aside and take the risk of living. We need to take the risk of joy, and we need to take the risk of being joy. The well-known author M. Scott Peck observed, "There can be no vulnerability without risk. There can be no community without vulnerability. There can be no peace and ultimately no life without community." So as you listen to the words of the parable, I want to ask you a serious question about what is your image of God? David Loos, in one of his sermon blogs on this text from a few years ago, says, "I wonder how often this happens in our relationship with God. We imagine God primarily as an enforcer of rules, and we get hung up on the legalism of religion. We visualize God as a stern and very prone to punishment. And we come to believe that everything bad in our lives is a punishment from God. We see God as arbitrary and capricious, and that what we experience is a fickle and unsympathetic God who meets all of our expectations for negativity. On the other hand, when we view God primarily in terms of grace, we are surprised and uplifted by the numerous gifts and moments of grace we experience all around us. And when we imagine God to be a God of love, we find it far easier to experience God's love in our own lives and then to share that love with others." So on this Sunday, on this day of reflecting on this incredible parable, and being offered the opportunity to take the risk of entering into the joy of the Master, are we able to hear what the risk is for the three slaves? What is the risk for us? Because the risk we take depends on our image of God. Remember the words of that third slave? "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you can have what is yours." How many of us become frightened with the gift of grace that we've been given? I once preached a sermon which became very controversial because I told the congregation on Easter Sunday morning that everyone was afraid of the resurrection because we didn't want to believe it. How much are you willing to risk? How much was Jesus willing to risk for us? Jesus risked everything. Everything. Mark Twain, one of my favorite authors, or Samuel Clemens, probably slightly irreligious and but perhaps deeply spiritual on some levels, wrote, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bowlines. Sail away from the safe harbor. Catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, and discover. You see, the three slaves were given total freedom. Total freedom by their master to risk. He trusts them. He empowers them. He gives them the gift of being able to take a risk. One of my favorite theologians also, Paul Tillich, once observed, decision is a risk rooted in the courage of being free. These three slaves were free. They'd been given this enormous amount of money. And they were given the freedom to take the risk. The freedom to risk relationship. The freedom to risk love. The freedom to risk serving others. Risk is scary, so maybe we need to do what Eleanor Roosevelt once advised, do one thing every day that scares you. We need to become risk takers for the kingdom of God. And in fact, I don't think we have a choice. David Loos ended with his reflection on Matthew, this section of Matthew's gospel, when he said, Jesus tells us this parable just days before he was to give his life on the cross, not as a sublime or surrogate to be punished in our place, but rather as testimony to just how far God will go to communicate God's love for us and all the world. Jesus spent his life and ministry proclaiming God's kingdom, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, offering forgiveness, and welcoming all who recognize their need into the loving embrace of God. And for that message, he is crucified. That's how much God wants us to know of God's love. And just in case we miss or underestimate that message, God raises Jesus on the third day, that we might know that life is stronger than death and love more powerful than hate. Remember, this parable is not about money. This parable uses money because for most of us, that's what we value the most. The parable is about the investment that Jesus makes in us. Jesus invests himself, all of himself, in each and every one of us because of the love of God for humanity. Jesus invests everything. Jesus is incredibly invested in who we are. Everything that Jesus has is for us. In return, Jesus is asking us to take that investment and use it to invest in others. But in order for us to do that, we must take some risks. Do you remember the first time you told someone you loved them? With another person, a parent, a grandparent. When you used that little four-letter word, do you remember how you felt? Do you remember the flutter in your stomach? Do you remember how frightened you were thinking, what if they reject me? That's risk-taking in the kingdom. We are given the love of God in order to take that love and invest it in others. We are given the love of God in order for us to share the love with others. There's nothing that is more difficult to do than take that risk, to tell someone that God loves them, to tell someone that you love them. Are you willing to take the love that God has given you and invest it in someone else? You have the opportunity and the ability. The alternative is to take what God has given you and keep it for yourself. Just like the third slave. That's our choice. Invest it to change someone else's life or keep it. So this week, in everything you do and every place you go, ask yourself the question, what will I do with the love of God? Amen. And now we join together in singing the hymn of the day, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 760, O Christ the Same.
Our service continues with the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in your Evangelical Lutheran Worship Hymnals. Page 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all in need. Lord of the church, ignite your people with the passion of your love. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, unify us across ministries, congregations, and denominations, and refine us to participate in your activity throughout the world. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of creation, we stand in awe at the works of your hands and praise you for the beauty of nature. Bless the earth for your glory and restore its integrity where exploitation has caused ruin. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of the nations, sound forth your justice in the ears of all leaders. Increase concern for those who are most vulnerable, especially as international leaders forge trade agreements and cooperate to end human rights abuses. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of all in need, search out all who cry to you in distress. Scatter the heavy clouds of depression, chronic illness, unemployment, and loneliness with your radiant light. Send us as encouragement and signs of your healing. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of the stranger, stir up holy restlessness in us to extend love to those at the margins. Release our desire for control and open us to learn from the perspectives of others. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of the living and the dead, we give you thanks for all the saints at rest from their labors. Rouse us to live by their example, that saints yet to come may also know your love. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, until that day when you gather all creation around your throne, where you will reign forever and ever. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we pause and exchange with one another the peace of Christ. And as we do that, there are people in our lives and in the midst of our community, there may even be strangers that we know of, who need an extra measure of the peace of Christ. So as we say those words and respond, think of that person and think of the needs that they have that can be met by God's peace being showered upon them. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
At this point in our liturgy, we join in our offering, and I want to express sincere thanks to the people of God at Trinity Lutheran Church as they have showered their gifts by giving online or through the mail during this time of no in-person worship. Your generosity and your graciousness are deeply appreciated. Thank you so much. At this point in our liturgy, we join together in the Great Thanksgiving as our communion liturgy unfolds. I would invite you to find some bread and some wine for a little later on in our worship. I will say the words, "Take and eat the body of Christ. Take and drink the blood of Christ." And when I say those words, exchange those gifts with each other and remember that incredible gift that God has given you. We join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to the giving of his life. And so with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So because of the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, we are bold once again to receive these gifts of the real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we prepare to receive them, we join, "Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray." Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. The power and the glory are yours. This bread and this wine are God's gifts for each of us as people of God. We join together now in singing "Lamb of God" on page 146.
Away the sin of the world.
We join now in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 461, All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly. Now take your bread and your wine or your grape juice and begin, take and eat the body of Christ given for you. And now the cup, take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on a journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen.
And now for the benediction. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give each of you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit be with you today and always. Amen. We join together now in our sending hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 834, Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Thank you.
Beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.